Thank you, Mr. Ray Allen, for that update on that power outage. Up to 35,000 customers. We took a hit here at the KVOI studios, but thank goodness we have state-of-the-art generating capacity, so we had our backup kicked into place, right, Ray? And we were good to go. Nobody noticed any difference, any of our listeners, so that's good news. But, you know, who knows what it is that caused the power outage, but, you know, it's going to be like over 90 degrees today, and maybe all of a sudden everybody's cranking up the air conditioners rather unexpectedly for this time of year. My goodness, February will probably go into the record books as the hottest in recorded history here in Tucson. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Buckmaster. Ray Allen is with us, producing and engineering the show. On the other side of the glass, we're coming to you from The Voice, Tucson's voice. It's AM 1030 KVOI, and you don't need to be right by a radio if you're around a computer. We've got the live stream at buckmastershow.com. That kicks you over to kvoi.com, and together, what a team, we get you live streaming with the program. And of course, then on my website, buckmastershow.com, we've got the podcasts and pretty much every show we've done over the last 5 years. You can listen to that on your schedule 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Full hour of content as usual. Our health contributor on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Victoria Mazes. She'll join us at the top here of the program. At the bottom of the hour, we welcome back to the show TucsonWeekly.com education writer David Safir. He's got some things to say about our interview that we did yesterday with Governor Doug Ducey here on the program, talking about education. David wants to take issue with the governor, and that's fine. We'll hear from him. Live line number 790-2040. That's the place for your questions, comments, and suggestions. We also invite you to become a friend of the program. We've got a couple of hundred places left for you on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster. In addition, we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine, as she is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She is the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health. She is the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, Victoria Mazes, that's MAIZESMD.com, and follow her at Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, on the live line, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Bill?
Doing very well, and very interesting piece in The Atlantic. This was came out a week or so ago. Joe Pinsker was the author, and he comes to the conclusion, to the question, why do the well-off folks eat more nutritiously than people who are less off? And I think the conclusion that he draws is that they can afford to. That's one of the conclusions.
Well, that is a conclusion. I think the very interesting part of the article, which really references some research done by Dr. Daniel, is that people who are wealthier can experiment with their children more easily. They're not as worried about the cost of wasting food as lower income families. And so what they found was that in families who are more well off, even though a child might reject, for example, broccoli again and again, they persist. And it has been shown that it may take between 8 and 15 introductions of an unknown food before a child will come to accept them. A less well-off family is going to struggle because the waste of food when the child rejects it is costly. And so if the child won't eat the food, then they may say, well, let's just go back to chicken nuggets or something that they're sure their child will eat. And therefore, the children don't develop the taste for some of these foods.
And so parents on a tight food budget, Dr. Mazes, obviously cannot afford a food that the kids toss on the floor or in the garbage. They can't afford that many times, can they?
That's exactly right. And you know, what's novel about this research is that, you know, people have sort of said, well, you know, we just have this inborn preference for sweet foods, salty foods, fatty foods. And, you know, there is truth to that. Bitter, which is, you know, an underlying flavor of some of the healthy vegetables like Brussels sprouts or kale, is also the taste of poison. And so from an evolutionary perspective, there is a normal, that's not good for me, and kids will make faces and will begin to reject. And it takes time to learn to appreciate those healthy foods and to develop, literally develop, a taste for them and a taste preference for them. And if you don't have the chance to try them more than once, then the norm is going to be rejecting them.
It is interesting, and I didn't realize that it would take that many times, 8 to 15 times, with a child to introduce new foods into the... Is this something that then the taste buds become accustomed to, or how does that whole evolution change?
Yes, that's exactly right. We do become accustomed to them, and something else that can kind of help this along is that what a mother eats during pregnancy will also create a more familiar sense to the baby once it's born. Once a mother eats, what a mother eats when she's breastfeeding, similarly will be expressed in part through the breast milk, and the baby will have a more familiar sense of some of these healthier foods. And so besides introducing the food many times to a small child, being especially attentive to eating a healthy diet during pregnancy and also during the breastfeeding period can also help your child learn some of these tastes.
Women who are pregnant and have cravings for food, is that a fact or is that a old wives' tale? I mean, that's a question that it's not really has to do with the Atlantic article, but it's something, as you were speaking, I was thinking, what about cravings that pregnant women have?
Well, pregnant women definitely have cravings, and, you know, they can vary depending, and sometimes we can understand them or think we understand them. Like, for myself, I had been vegetarian before my pregnancies, although I do eat a fish, but I remember when I was pregnant with my son, I craved meat. And some people could say, well, you needed more iron,
yeah,
or you needed more protein. You know, they might have an explanation. Perhaps that was true. And long time ago when I was pregnant with my son, I did eat meat. You know, mm-hmm. I followed that craving. So I think that sometimes there are clearer explanations, and sometimes maybe it's harder to understand. But what we eat will affect our child. The other thing is, and this is some research by a woman named Julie Minella, she actually has these wonderful photographs of babies who are tasting foods for the first time, and the just, you know, the faces that they make, you know, the faces of displeasure when you feed them something that's bitter or sour as opposed to sweet. You know, we've all seen the happy face of the child who's being fed, I don't know, something like applesauce.
Mm-hmm.
But give a child sour or bitter, and they'll really, you know, make quite interesting faces. And another recommendation that the scientists who are studying this have for moms is, you know, just because a child makes a face isn't necessarily a rejection of the food. I mean, sometimes kids just simply won't eat them, and you need to introduce it more than once, but not to allow the face making itself as the baby tastes a new food to dissuade you. Yeah.
How about sugar and saturated fat? That was also a very interesting part of that Atlantic article, that while everyone could stand to eat less sugar and saturated fat, it was the least educated who were exceeding the recommendations the most.
Yes. So, again, it turned out that it wasn't because people didn't know what was healthy. I think we too often think that people aren't doing the thing they ought to do because they just don't know. But we know, for example, from cigarette smoking, I mean, essentially every adult knows that cigarette smoking is not healthy, and yet that doesn't necessarily stop people from smoking, even though they have the knowledge. So there was this assumption that maybe better educated people are more aware that these foods that are high in sugar or fats might be they may just not know that they're not healthy for them, but it turns out that they definitely knew. And there was this assumption, again, that while they were growing up, they may have acquired these tastes that then affected their shopping habits later in life.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's about 12:16 on a midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If there is something that Dr. Mays has said that has perhaps provoked a question or a comment from you, we'd love to hear from you. But we're going to take our break right here. But before we do, Ray, I want to tell the listeners about one of our new sponsors, Chef Janos Wilder's Carriage House. He has opened up, and it's going to really start later this month. It is a special events venue and cooking school in a 100-year-old building at 146 East Broadway in downtown. He's done a beautiful job remodeling it. Janos himself is going to kick off the kind of inaugural class celebrating Tucson's designation as a UNESCO City of Gastronomy. So there are going to be a variety of classes offered year-round at Carriage House. And that first cooking school event with Chef Wilder on Saturday, February 27th at 11 a.m. You can call 615-6100 extension 1 or online registration now available at carriagehouse.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We've got good news about the power outage, and the power has now been apparently fully restored. That outage did affect about 30,000 TEP customers, and the exact reason for the outage is being investigated. We are speaking with Dr. Victoria Mays, as the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Bay Center for Integrative Medicine. Also, she is a Professor of Medicine, Family Medicine, and Public Health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mays, as you have a very, we've been talking about eating healthy, and you have a very interesting conference coming up in March, next month.
Yes, we do. This year it will be in Denver, and it's our annual Nutrition and Health Conference. And one of the researchers that I mentioned in the first part of the show, Julie Minella, will be giving a keynote about how children do develop their dietary preferences and some of the things that we can do to influence them. We also have a wonderful, counterpoint coming up with Walter Willett, who is well known as one of the leading proponents of the Mediterranean diet, with Lauren Cordain, who's one of the leading proponents of the paleo diet. So I think that will be fascinating, and I want to invite your listeners to come and attend if they are interested. Today, and today only, the one of the sponsors has made the early bird rate available again, and so they can go to the nutritionandhealthconference.org website and find out how to register.
We were talking about in the first portion of the program about the article in The Atlantic talking about how to get kids to perhaps try different foods and eat more healthy foods. And one conclusion from the author in this article, the reason that more educated people have healthier diets may not be because they have more of an appreciation for the importance of a good diet, but because of an extent they're really following their palates. And you touched on this briefly. I'd like to talk a little bit more about that.
Great. So shaping the kids' palates has to do really with repetition. And so even when a child rejects the vegetable, bringing it to taste again and again, repeatedly saying, eat your vegetables over time will make a difference, and giving those opportunities. One way to reduce waste is potentially to buy frozen produce and prepare just a little bit of it at a time, so that, you know, if your child does reject the food, it's not, you know, wasting as much.
And kids don't, I guess you can't say that kids just don't like broccoli initially, but probably most do not. I didn't like it initially, and now I try to eat some of it at least four or five times a week.
Yes, so, well, actually, I think you can say that kids often don't like broccoli the first time. There's a compound in it called goitrin, and it is very, very bitter to certain people and mildly bitter to others. That's a protective strategy on the part of the plant because the bitterness tends to make it less likely that animals, including humans, will eat that broccoli. But over time, many of us actually learn to enjoy that bitter flavor and to look for it. Other ways to do it, I think, that are effective, plant a garden. Kids are fascinated by gardens, and they love to eat things that they have grown, and I think are often much more willing to experiment when they have grown the items. And one of the other suggestions would be that schools have gardens, and we're lucky in Tucson. We have a strong school gardening program, and this can then become a place where kids get exposed to tastes and flavors that they may not be getting exposed to at home.
We're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line because caller Dave is going to share with us a comment about how he got his kids to eat their veggies. Go ahead, Dave. We are waiting with, we're really anxious to hear. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Dave.
What we did is we didn't serve all the food on the table at once. When the kids sat down hungry, the first thing that was on the table was vegetables.
Hmm. Wow.
And the meat and potatoes came later.
Now, what a great strategy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, another thing I did when my children were young to get them to eat vegetables is I would try and make it as pretty as possible. And so I would cut up red peppers and have cherry tomatoes and, you know, cut up carrots and arrange them in really hopefully attractive way around a dip like a hummus. Or, you know, sometimes when my kids were little and it was really hard to get them to eat them, I'd let them dip it in ranch dressing. Ranch dressing is not a particularly healthy food, but I felt like it was getting them to eat the vegetables, and that was, on balance, a wise, decision.
That's good.
My parents always told us that mushrooms and asparagus were too expensive; they were only for adults.
Another interesting little strategy.
Yes, and then, you know, the other thing is if you engage kids in cooking, again, if they're part of the food prep and the cooking, they're often much more excited about tasting the foods that they have prepared for the family. So all of these are great suggestions.
And getting back to some of the other strategies, Dave, that was a great suggestion. Give us another couple, if you could. Victoria Mazes, about introducing healthy food into a young person's diet, or for that matter, any of our diets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing I would say is there is an art to learning how to cook vegetables. I know when I was growing up, my mother didn't have that art. So we got a lot of, you know, overcooked vegetables that often weren't delicious and didn't have a lot of flavor. And so there are some really wonderful cookbooks that focus on Mediterranean diet, that teach you how to season things well. I know a lot of people now are very into pan roasting their vegetables. And, you know, when you go to fine restaurants, you're often served roasted vegetables. In my house, we do that. We mix the vegetables ahead of time with some olive oil and sometimes with something like truffle salt, which adds a lovely flavor, or you can add some other kinds of spices, and you really end up having amazingly tasty vegetables. So learning a little bit, and when you go out to eat at restaurants, you can try the different ways in which the food is being prepared. You can ask for recipes. You can learn something about better ways to prepare these foods at home so that they are more delicious.
All right, Dr. Mazes, where can we find out more information about what you do at the Center for Integrative Medicine?
Well, thank you for asking. We do have a website, which is azcim.org, or people can just Google the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, and we have lots of wonderful information on that website, including many tools that people can use to be healthier. On that website, for example, we have information about the anti-inflammatory diet and about, for example, the DASH diet, which is one that's been shown to lower blood pressure, gluten-free eating, a healthy diet if you have diabetes or you've had cancer. So there's really some great information, some great free handouts that you can access on the website.
Dr. Mazes, thank you very much for being with us. Talk to you next month.
My pleasure. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based. It's a great resource here in Tucson. It's the Center for Integrative Medicine, and she is also a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. You can follow her at Twitter at Dr. Dr. Mazes, M-A-I-Z-E-S, and also her website is victoriamazesmd.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another 5-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverdi Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a 5-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow. It will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Dr. Francisco Garcia, Pima County's health director, plus U.S. Senate hopeful, former state senator Kelly Ward. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with live streaming podcasts and our show archive on my website. That's buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is kind of new sponsor week at Buckmaster. We introduced another new sponsor last week, and we're so glad to have, we have a new one this week, Carriage House, Janos Wilder's organization. Bon Voyage Travel will be joining us on March 1st. We're going to be doing a monthly travel segment. For somebody that likes to travel as much as I do, that's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, I want to tell you about Green Things. If you do any gardening at all, I try to get out and do a little bit, hopefully every day. Green Things over just off, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They really have everything a gardener could ever dream about. They have 33 greenhouses full of plants. They've expanded their acreage now over there to 13 acres. The address is 3384 East River Road, and you can go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. And I know if you're into gardening, I've had great luck with all of their roses, by the way, over there. They've got great roses. They grow them there. They don't bring them in from someplace else. So they roses grew up in Tucson, so they're accustomed to our particular climate. So when you get them home, they'll be right at home. Let's welcome David Safir. David writes in at TucsonWeekly.com. His specialty is education. He writes about other things, but predominantly about education. David, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Thanks.
It is good to see you. And you brought along something I had not seen. This was in the Republic today, I believe, concerning Arizona Chief Executive Officers see schools as a key witness and weakness. This is something that folks have talked about and speculated on a lot.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, and it's an interesting survey because it was put together not for some education group, but it was put together for the Arizona Commerce Authority, the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Greater Phoenix Economic Council. So it's not slanted or skewed towards an education perspective, and yet they actually said that taxes and regulations are not among their biggest problems. I want to emphasize the are not, but they feel that education, since it's not as good as it should be, is actually an impediment to better economic growth. And I think that is fascinating because I know that surveys of the basic population have said that they're very much into education to the point where they're willing to increase their taxes even. Now, the survey here says that they want more funds for higher education without abandoning pro-business tax policies. So they kind of want everything in a magic pony. But still, they understand how important education is. And I think that is huge and probably affects the way the legislature and the governor are dealing with the education situation right now.
And I asked the governor yesterday in our conversation here on the program 24 hours ago about that editorial. I believe it was in Sunday's Arizona Republic, where the editors urged the governor to, quote, go slow on taxes.
Right. And I listened to the
tax increases.
I listened to his interview twice, and he said, and I am going slow. And I thought, the only thing you're going slow on is telling us what your plans are for the tax decrease. You're planning to put it in there, but you don't want to put it in now so people can complain. So that's not going slow is downsizing the amount that you're going to cut or not having the cuts at all. We'll see what he ends up doing, but stalling is not going slow.
Of course, I would say the focus of my interview was about education, and what you heard from Governor Ducey is pretty much textbook Doug Ducey about the way he talks about education funding in Arizona.
Yeah, it is.
Wrote about some of this in today's, we can point folks toward TucsonWeekly.com.
Right, on the range on TucsonWeekly.com. It'll be one of the more recent posts. But I want to backpedal a bit and go to the JTED subject, because I know he talked about it. Mm-hmm. This morning, the House passed by, I believe, huge margins, the JTED funding, the technical education money for schools, to the tune of $29 million instead of the $30 million that had been cut. And something I almost overlooked was the huge fight where the Senate wanted to claim credit for it,
but then
the House wanted to claim credit for it. So the House put in an extra sentence, so it became theirs. And I think they actually wrote in the names of the legislators. And from what I read, that's unheard of.
It is unheard of, but it's an election year, so they want that on record that they were supporters of JTED.
Right, and they want to own that. They want to have the bragging rights for the House people rather than the Senate people. Now, here's what occurred to me, Bill. What does that have in common with Doug Ducey bragging about his Proposition 123, the thing that's supposed to add $3.5 billion over 10 years. And there are a couple of things. They're both about education funding. But the other thing is neither of them are bringing in new money. Both of them are about money that was taken away and they're giving it back. So they went to a kid, went to their bedroom, took a toy out of the bedroom, and then said, here's a toy. Aren't you happy? You know, and it's the kid's toy already, or even worse, probably more appropriate. They took food off the kid's plate and said, you're going to go to bed hungry, then give them the food back and say, aren't you glad I gave it back? So they're not risking anything, but they want bragging rights for simply giving back what was taken away.
Let's hear from Tom, caller Tom at 790-2040. I think Tom has a comment about Proposition 123. Hey, Tom.
Mr. Sophia, what is the attitude in the community here in around Tucson about the 123? Are the voters in favor of it at this point?
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Well, I wish I could tell you what the voters think, but there haven't been any polling on it. I can tell you that people are very, very split. Democrats who are legislators, I know some of them are reluctantly supporting it, and I'm reluctantly supporting it as well.
I think you have said, David, that you will be going into the voting booth and holding your nose.
That
and
is
said,
a direct
voting
quote.
Yes.
That is because I think the thing doesn't smell quite right. But others are against it, and it really is dividing in weird ways, like Jeff DeWitt.
Jeff DeWitt, the state treasurer, very much against it. Diane Douglas is not, in our interviews with her, I've asked her each time, are you going to vote for it? And she says, well, I never tell people how you vote. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't take a lot of imagination to see her vote no on that.
So it crosses party lines is what's weird about it. People are voting yes and no across party lines, and it's causing a bit of dissension. But as for how the vote's going, that's, you know, anybody's guess. But what's important and what I wanted to emphasize is that we've got the Republicans scrambling to say, I support education. And what they're scrambling to do is Doug Ducey to put back money that was taken away in 2009, only 70% of that, and the Republicans scrambling to take away money that they took, to put back money that they themselves took away last year, $30 million, and they're putting back $29 million. So this is a funny game. And they know, as we talked about earlier, that people want more money for education, and they're not giving them more money. They're simply reversing the cuts and not even reversing them entirely. It's really a shell game, I think.
Well, and Proposition 123 will restore some of the money that the voter, this goes back to a voter initiative mm-hmm. in the late 90s.
I think it was 2000.
Oh, it was 2000.
And the voters said, let's give more money to education and let's make sure it's there every year, raising with inflation. And this is something that people sometimes forget. The voters put in a 6/10 of a cent sales tax. So it was a funded mandate. So if it's a funded mandate, that means the state isn't paying for it. The voters, the taxpayers, said we'll pay for it. And now the state, who says we don't need more taxes, is taking money that was supposed to be for education and saying we need it to keep our budget balanced. There are levels of hypocrisy here that just astound me.
Let's take Bob's call before we take the break. What do you say, Ray? Let's go to Bob at 790-2040. Go ahead, Bob. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I support the 1-2-3 proposition coming up, and I guess my greater comment is I feel like a lot of more conservative people out there feel that there's a lot of waste in public education, be it the university or the public schools, and we would like to downsize some of the public schools and give money to the private, like the voucher school choice, and let people go to private universities. And I guess that's my comment.
It's a good comment, Bob, and you're not alone. It is a widely held view that there is too much waste in our schools.
Right. There's one problem with that. By every national standard, Arizona spends less per student on administration than any other state in the country. Not less money, but a lower percentage. I think we spend, I can't remember the number, I won't quote that, but there's less waste from that standpoint in Arizona than in the other states, and yet people are complaining about the waste, including, by the way, Doug Ducey, and we can get back to that a little bit later.
We will, and we'll also talk about Arizona lawmakers wanting to perhaps undo these voter initiatives.
Interesting.
That is coming up as we continue on Buckmaster at 12:46. We will be right back. David Saphir is here. Perhaps you do not agree with Mr. Saphir. No problem. David gets lots of comments both ways. 790-2040. Les here from you. Back right after this.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pass prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Hey, Ray, that's good music to take a road trip. 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City, and with weather like we've been having, that mile-high elevation over there, can you imagine how beautiful that would be? Early spring certainly coming to the high country of southwest New Mexico. Go antiquing in historic Silver City, or just kind of hang out, do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Great places to stay, like Casitas de Gila guest houses. The full list, there's about 24 listed places that are fine places to stay in Silver City, and the many things to do all on the website southwestnewmexico.org. David Safir is with us. David is education writer at TucsonWeekly.com, their section that they call The Range, because it covers a very wide range of topics, right?
Yeah,
David?
Oh, yeah. If you want to hear about music or food or current events,
politics,
or very serious stuff or very lighthearted stuff, the videos that are selling at Casa Video, you'll
all
find
there.
It there.
Let's go back to the live line, 790-2040. Doug Martin is with us. Doug is the owner of this radio station. Doug, how are you?
Very good, David and Bill. How are you guys?
Great,
good.
Thanks.
Good. Just a comment and question, David. I know you mentioned how the administrative costs are very low here in Arizona, and that may be true over the entire state. I know Mesa is at like 42%, but TUSD is over 52%, the highest in the state. So a lot of folks really don't trust their money going to TUSD. So I think that's a concern for a lot of people. But concerning public education and how to make it better, I often hear you talk about more money being a solution, but I know you're not a fan of the charter schools, which are public schools. So I'd like to know what you think would, you know, besides just more money, what can we do in the public schools to make them work better?
Doug, I should have been writing down notes because you brought up so many things. First of all, you talked about the amount of money that goes into the classroom as opposed to the money that doesn't go into the classroom. When I was talking about administration, that's something like 9%. Now, we spend less in the classroom than most states because our budgets are low, and the fixed costs, as you well know what fixed costs do, those eat up more of it. TUSD has some interesting issues, and one of them happens to be that because it has the desegregation funds, part of the mandate of the desegregation funds is to put in administrators to take care of certain situations and deal with problems. So that raises the cost of administration a bit. And we also have a lot of older schools that need more repair and things of that nature. I'm not discounting what you said, but I'm explaining some of the reasons why it's higher. And that's a fact. If you look at the budget before and after the desegregation funds, you'll see that more goes into the classroom until the desegregation funds are added. Now, I'm not an enemy of charter schools. I don't dislike charter schools. I dislike badly run charter schools, and there are a number of them, but there are a number of excellent ones. And I dislike charter schools misrepresenting themselves. For instance, BASIS represents itself as the answer to all of our educational problems, when in fact it's a very, very, very selective school with tremendous, motivated, intelligent students who thrive. And I've had those students. I've taught them in high school. They're wonderful kids, and they always do well. BASIS has yet to set up a school in a poor neighborhood and take kids who are more heterogeneous. They have the lowest percentage of Hispanics of any school in the city, and they haven't done it yet, so they haven't proven themselves. So I want charters to be honest about that, and I also want them to be more financially accountable, because while we know every penny, really, that DUSD spends, we do not know how charter schools spend their money.
And Doug also brought up, what other than money, throwing more money into the classrooms, could we do to improve our schools? I believe that was kind of a third part
right.
to Doug's question.
I'm going to answer that by the side. There are any number of ways to improve schools, the better the teachers, the better the curriculum, things like that all help, and they help noticeably. But the best thing that can be done to improve schools is to improve the life and the safety and lower the stress level and raise the health of the children who go to the schools. Because mm-hmm. in the U.S. and worldwide, low-income students do more poorly than high-income students, but the gap is greater in the U.S. than it is in other countries. And one reason is that we have really amongst the people at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, we have a huge disparity, we have gigantic problems, and schools can't fix them. Schools can be part of the solution, but without working on what's going on in the society outside, schools can only do so much, only change things incrementally.
Very, very important point. We're not going to probably have much time to talk about this, really less than 2 minutes, but we did kind of tease it before the break there about Arizona lawmakers considering undoing voter initiatives. This is really big because this could impact Prop 123, which was a voter initiative.
Well, the idea is, excuse me, Bill, I got a frog in my throat today. The idea is that once the voters pass a proposition, this would allow the legislators to go back and change it much more easily, than they can now. And to do that, they have to pass a bill. They've got a continuing resolution that's already gone through one of the committees. And I know it would affect things like, for instance, if marijuana was legalized, they could reverse it. They could just reverse it. Now, it's possible, and I'm talking with some lawyer friends who know more about this than I do, it's possible they could also reverse Prop 123 or mm-hmm. even say, let's take that money and use it for something else. But I'm not sure, because that's written into the Constitution, so I have to know more about it. But the bottom line is the legislature is upset with the voters for voting in things that it wouldn't vote in, and it wants to be able to change that, and that is a problem.
And Tim Steller, our friend, columnist with the Arizona Daily Star, that is the subject of Tim's column today, this move to perhaps undo voter initiatives. And Tim is talking and writing about what it could possibly mean with, like, a marijuana initiative.
Right, and I think that's the big one. I think mm-hmm. that's what they're most looking at. But the unintended or possibly intended consequence could literally be to be able to channel funds that voters put one place and just move them over and put them someplace else legally just through a vote. And that is basically what they've done with the schools, but the courts ruled it illegal. If they pass this through, maybe it wouldn't be illegal anymore.
All right, David, we will be looking for your work at TucsonWeekly.com in the section called The Range, and David will be, he's got a column up actually right now about our interview yesterday with the governor, and always get a lot of comments from David Saphir, both written and verbally.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up this afternoon, for Tucson at 4. Kim DeMarco is running for supervisor. She's going to be Mike Shaw's guest, I believe, this afternoon. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, Chris DeSimone, and a different guest host every day. Sean McCluskey is on from 9 to 10, then me, Bill Buckmaster. I will be back with you at 12:04 for our Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking with Dr. Francisco Garcia, the head of the Pima County Health Department, about all the cold and flu, several stories out there that Tucson hospitals have just been packed with flu patients. So it certainly is going around right now. We're going to talk about flu and colds tomorrow and just how healthy is Pima County. That's coming up on Buckmaster tomorrow. Till then, Ray Allen, my producer, engineer, and me, Bill Buckmaster, wish you a great afternoon and evening.